today for your love and your grace to us. I pray that in just these next few minutes, you'll touch every heart, every life. Not anything that any human could ever do in their own strength, but Lord, through your strength, I pray. I pray that this will be a day that many will mark in their calendar. That is when my life changed. God, I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. You have your Bible with you this morning. I'm only going to be just a few minutes. I want to share just with you a little story this morning about the hope that Easter really does bring. And I'm so glad for that hope in my life today. I want you to know that, yeah, I look in those videos and those pictures that I see 20 years ago. 20 years, we've had some great times. We've also gone through some challenging times in our lives. We felt some things, and we've experienced some things and walked through some things that sometimes weren't always pleasant. Many times we've gone through and experienced some incredible times. All the times that, you know, when you're a pastor and your kids, sometimes they don't do things 100% the way you'd hope they would. I thank God that they've all come out on the other side of that. I'm standing here thinking, I don't think I ever had to bail any of them out of jail. No, I didn't have to do that. But you go through good times, you go through tough times, you go through challenging times, you go through times where you feel insecure and you want to give up. You feel like maybe this isn't for you, maybe you should quit. You feel like the end is here. I felt that in my heart this week when I would get up and I would speak to you this morning, that some of you would come in, you'd feel beat up, you'd feel broke down, you'd feel emotionally wounded because of something that has happened in your life. Somebody disappointed you. You feel forsaken. You feel lost. You feel like you have no one. You don't know who to talk to when you go home at night or when you get into bed. Things are dark around you. If you told anyone the way you really felt, they wouldn't think the same of you, or they'd look down on you. But I've come today to give you hope. Not hope that I can muster up or manufacture, but hope in God. Hope that today, the power of the resurrection of Christ, as we gather here together today and remember that, and not only on this day, but every single Sunday, every day of the week for the Christian is a celebration of what Jesus has done for you and I. That he has brought us life, that he has brought us hope. And if it was not for him, I don't know where I'd be. And we have the hope of an empty tomb today, that Jesus is not there, that he has risen from the dead, and he is the Lord. And the hope that I'm talking about is not a kind of hope where some say, well, I hope so. I'm talking about an I know so kind of hope today. I'm talking about a hope that gives you and I forgiveness. I'm talking about a hope that brings peace to your tough situation. I'm talking about a hope that'll bring you an assurance that you have never had in your life, that you can go on, that there is a confidence that's pushing you through the dark and the dismal situation. I'm talking about a hope that our eternal place is in heaven. God said, Jesus said to Martha and Mary, he said, if you will believe in me, even if you die, you'll live. And he who lives shall never die. And then he said, do you believe this? For he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Come on. You ought to be thankful for that. That's the hope that I'm talking about today. And David knew the hope. He said in Psalm 39:7, he said, my hope is in you. He says again in Psalm 71:5, he said, for you are my hope. God is our hope. Jesus is our hope. And when we know the resurrected power of Christ, we don't have to live hopeless. It's one of the most difficult words that we could ever understand, we could ever live by, being hopeless. Living without any hope. What's tomorrow going to bring? What do we have to look forward to? What is coming our way? And so many times, and we live in this world right now where the news every day, something else is happening. Something's taking place. And if you let that affect you or define you, you could live with a sense of hopelessness. But I want to tell you today that it doesn't matter what goes on in the world around you. The Bible says we are not even of this world. The Bible says in the book of Peter that our citizenship is in heaven. You may be here now, but let me tell you something. The Bible says that this life is but a vapor. Whatever comes our way today will be gone tomorrow. And whatever comes tomorrow, it'll be changed next week. But one thing will never change. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other rocks are sinking sand. You can trust Him. You can believe in Him today. You can take your faith in Him to the bank today. He will never walk out on you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be there in your darkest time, in your best time, in the times that you're hurting, in the times that you feel forsaken. God will always be with you. Come on. Now, if you're going to clap today, give Him a great praise. And the Apostle Paul, he says this great verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 and chapter and verses 1. He said, "More of the brethren, I declare to you the gospel." And let me tell you something. A whole lot of things can happen in your life. But when the gospel comes forth, it changes lives. I don't have to do anything. I could be up here and read this monotone to you. And when the gospel goes forth, it changes who we are. He said, "I declare to you the gospel which I preached, which also you received, and in which you stand, and which also you are saved. And if you hold fast to that word which I preach, unless you believe it in vain, for I delivered to you first all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins." Aren't you glad for that? "According to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again on the third day, according to the Scripture." When I think about what He's done for me, I think about this thought of this great announcement of Easter. When you talk about hope, God has done everything necessary to remove the sin out of your life, to remove the guilt out of your life. And to know that you are on your way to heaven. I want somebody to leave today who wondered if they were going to heaven. I want you to leave today knowing that you are going to heaven. Jesus, what did He do to make it possible? He says in verse 3, he actually, it's a three-part announcement. He says that He has paid for your sin and mine. That Christ died for our sin. And it's not unusual to know that everybody's going to die. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says it's an appointed unto every man to die once. But Christ died for our sin. He gave His life for you and I. That word means he was the substitution for our life. That whatever was wrong in your life, Jesus took that upon Himself and became the substitute for that. He was your substitute. He took your place. He died in your death, and He gave His life so that you can live. Can you just think about that a minute? Where Jesus was strong and healthy, He took all of your sickness. He took all of your sin. He took all of your problems on His life. And the Bible says that He exchanged who He was for you, so that you could live. He said Christ died for our sins. He paid the penalty. He suffered so that you and I could be saved forever. He died so that you could ever, forever be delivered. Oh, my goodness. I thank God for the hope of Easter. And the Bible says He died for our sins according to the Scripture. And I love the Old Testament. I read it on Friday night out of Isaiah 55 or out of Isaiah 53. 700 years before Jesus walked the earth, the prophet Isaiah, he declared these words. He said, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Come on today. He was wounded for you. He was bruised for that iniquitous nature. Some of you, if you're anything like me, you didn't have a choice of who you were born from. You didn't have a choice of your parents. I said in the video, my dad was a raging alcoholic. And I was born with that DNA in me. That propensity, that proclivity to lean in the area of abuse in certain things. But the Bible says He was bruised for that iniquitous nature. My goodness, I feel God doing something right up in here now. He says the chastisement for the peace that we want was upon Him. He says, we all have like sheep gone astray and turned everyone to his own. But the Lord has laid on him. There that is again, the iniquity of us all. Your old nature does not have to define who you are to become. You can have a drawing to something, but I want you to know today, through the power of the gospel and the word of the living God, that Jesus died on the cross to destroy that hindrance in your life and in mine today. Jesus also, he put away our sin. The Bible says he was buried. He died and he was buried. Isaiah says again in verse 9 in Isaiah 53 that they made his grave with the wicked. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the sin that you and I carry in our life. Jesus was buried with that sin. Jeremiah 31, 34, he said, I'll forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. My goodness, that is enough to come to church over right there, that God has forgiven you and doesn't even remember your sin anymore today. Amen. Come on. Psalm 103 said he put it as far as the east is from the west. And he not only buried it, he prevailed over the power of it. He rose again on the third day. Jesus has given you and I. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he has conquered that thing that would try to define you, try to hold you down. If it had not been for God, where would we be? And this second part of this scripture, I don't even like to talk about because I don't know where I'd be without it. And that is, what if there was no Easter? 1 Corinthians 15:12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been risen from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection? How do some say, oh, what you're experiencing, that's just a folly. That's just folklore. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Paul, he goes on to say, he's making this case, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith is empty. And if we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that God has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. And if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen either. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins, and those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. We have nothing. Suppose there'd been no Easter. I don't even like to talk about it. Because he says, actually, Paul says six times, if there'd been no resurrection, if there'd been no Easter, I would have wasted the last 20 plus years of my life. Some of you would have wasted even more than that. He goes on to say, if your faith was empty, if you had nothing, he says in verse 15, we'd be found to be false witnesses. If there had been no witness, if there had been no Easter, where would we be? I think about where I'd be. Some of you heard me tell this story, and I am reminded about this when I think about the resurrection and the power that Jesus has had in my own personal life. When I say I would be in jail, I know I'd be in jail. When I say I was addicted, I'd still be addicted. I saw in the newspaper the other day, I happened to see one of the news people next door when the store was opening, the shoe store next door this week, and he was talking about somebody that he knew that was teeter-tottering between life and death because of an overdose. And I happened to tell him, I said, the man that gave me the first drug that I ever tried, I saw that his name was in the paper and he was arrested for drug possession and using. And I thought, how contrary that is from his life to mine. You see, if Jesus had never stepped into my life when he did, my name would be in the paper if I'd even be still alive. If there'd been no resurrection, I would not be here and neither would you. If there'd been no resurrection, many of you would still be addicted. Many of you would still be carrying around the pain of your past and your present. If there was no addiction, some of you wouldn't be sitting next to your spouse today because of the way you acted. That whole thing would have blown up a long time ago. But because there is a resurrection and Jesus does live, you can live also. Oh, come on. Today, that's enough right there. He says, how do we know? He said in verse 5, he said, he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. In verse 6, he was seen by over 500 brethren. He was seen by James and then the apostles. In verse 8, he said, and he was seen by me. And many a time people will stand up and they'll declare what they believe in, but few will pay with their blood. And all of these, most of them who said, I've seen him, I've witnessed him, and they talk about it, they bled for it, they died for it. Many may live for a lie, but there'll be few that will ever die for a lie. Come on today. Jesus is alive. He is risen. He is not dead. He took your sin. He took mine. You can live with life. You can live with confidence. You can live and know that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. And then closing, the power of Easter. He goes on in verse 20, he says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Because Christ is risen, he has taken the sting out of death. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to worry anymore. He's taken the gloom out of the grave. He's taken the dread out of death, hell, and the grave. You can be free today. You can live. If Christ is risen because he has risen from the dead. I read this story this last couple weeks as I was studying for this. And I had remembered this, but it's just something you don't think of. It was a story about the former Russian leader, Vladimir Lenin, who has been dead since 1924. Did you know that in Red Square in Moscow, that his corpse still lies in a tomb that is viewed by people, hundreds and thousands of people every year, still to this day, and that the government of Russia spends $1.5 million a year to maintain this corpse, this mummy of Vladimir Lenin, who some said at that time, this is what they said, that he was the greatest leader of all the people, of all times. Some said he was the Lord of the new humanity. He was the Savior of the world. Now, that's just an opinion of somebody. And ladies and gentlemen, the key in that statement is that he was, but now Christ is risen from the dead. You go to the tomb of Jesus, you will not find a mummy there. You will only find an empty tomb. I've been in that tomb. I've seen it. It's empty. There is hope on this Easter. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from. Jesus brings hope to you and I on this Easter morning. Come on today. Come on. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head. Some of you are in desperate need. You don't want anybody moving. Just pause right where I'm going to be done in about 3 minutes. Today is such an important day. It's such a beautiful day for you and for each and every one of us. We remember what he has done. It's not just a story only to be told, but it's a life that you and I can live. Hallelujah. It's a life that you and I can live. The message of Easter struck my life way back when I was 17, 18, 19 years old, when I'd lost mom and dad, my brother and my sister, and I was homeless, living in the back of a pickup, and my girlfriend's dad said, he's got to come to church. And somebody handed me an old black King James Bible. They saw I was so jacked up and so messed up. They said, read this. Maybe this will help you. I began to read it, and I was in a church service like similar to this one. And when the man began to, he spoke like I had never heard before, and words, they began to touch my heart like they had never touched my heart before. I felt something changing inside of me. I did not understand what it was, but now as I look back, I know that was the power of God reaching into my life saying, I love you. I've got a plan for you. I've got hope for you. And I thought, how could God have a plan for me? Who am I? I'm just some busted up, broken down kid from South Bayern. I know no one, know nothing. How could a God in heaven love somebody like me who's messed up so many times, who's made so many mistakes, who's hurt myself and others so many times? How could a God love me like that? That morning, as I believe for some of you, like this morning will be, that morning, I gave my life over to Jesus. And I wish I could say that from every day from that point on, I served him faithfully. I did not. Sometimes I got discouraged. You heard me in that video. I didn't want anything to do with ministry. Sometimes we get hurt in life. Sometimes we go through these disappointments. Sometimes we get pulled down and pulled back and we say, what's the use? And then I come back to a place and I found out what the real grace of God and the love of God is. He's reaching out to some of you today. I just want your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for about another 90 seconds. If you've never given your life to Christ, I don't want anything from you. This isn't joining a church. This isn't nothing. I'm offering you today the greatest life that you have ever known. I'm offering you today to participate in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 10:9, if you'll confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I want all my prayer folk to come down to the altar. Just your eyes are still closed, your heads are still bowed. If you're making that decision for the first time today, I want to pray for you. I want to believe God for you. I want to ask God to do something powerful in your heart and in your life today. If you're here and you're away, you've been away from God, you've just gone through just a challenging time, you don't have an answer, nobody's asking you, why'd you do this? Why? Nobody's asking that. God's just reaching out to you today, saying to you, come. Come back. I've been waiting for you. I've got a plan for you. Come. I want to give you life, and I want to give you hope. I want to give you help. Some of you today, you're facing a catastrophic experience, and you don't know how to deal with it. And you've been going in every other direction except in his direction, and he's brought you to this moment, he's brought you to this place, and he's simply saying, come. Come today. I'm going to pray for each one of you, then if anything that I said here today, at the end here, anything at all, if it touched your heart, you want to give your life to Christ, I want you just, when I say amen, when I dismiss everybody, instead of you going out the door, I want you to come down here. If you've been away from him and you don't need to tell it. Nobody's going to ask you anything. This is not a counseling session here. All they're going to do is they're going to pray for you and they're going to agree with you for your life. They're going to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, I want to give you one of those today. You come down, I want to just give it to you. I want to bless you with it today. Maybe you're sick in your body today. You just need somebody to agree in prayer with you for that as well. Before you leave, just come. Come down. Let's close. I want to close in prayer right now. Father, I give you thanks today because you have been so good to us. Your grace is greater than anything that we could ever understand or comprehend. I pray for my friends today. I pray for those who are coming to you this morning, those who are going to take that walk, just like so many of us did before they leave here today, give their life to you. For many that are not where they know they should be, that you are, even as I'm speaking, you are tugging on their heart and saying, this is the way come with me. Lord, your love and your power is so great here. I pray favor, I pray hope, I pray blessing over every life, over every family. God, I thank you for their lives. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, and everyone said amen. Amen. Come on, do you love the Lord today? Come on, put your hands together one more time for Jesus today. Two things before you go. Don't forget to pick up one of these devotionals on the way out. And if this is your first time here, there's a little orange gift bag in the back. We want you to take one of those. It got some goodies in there. And just want to be a blessing to you. I love you. Go in God's grace today. If you need prayer before you leave, you come on down. I love you so much. Hey, for some of you, you've been wondering about St. Anthony's. That service starts at noon. If you don't have anything going on, come on over and join us there.